A Skycatcher is put to work on a flight line minutes after its delivery. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob is a flight instructor in the Buffalo, New York area, also has a flight school. Bob's flight school is also a Cessna Pilot Center and has received a Cessna Skycatcher, which is something that not many Cessna Flight Centers have done so far, but a lot are waiting for. So we thought we'd share some first impressions. Bob, welcome in, and thanks for taking some time for our listeners today. And how about that weather?
Well, I tell you what, we've had weather that has ranged from 60 degrees in sunshine to deep sub-zero and close to 3.5 feet of snow. So it's been an exciting December start, to say the least.
I saw on your Facebook page a spectacular picture of one of those giant snowblower machines going down the runway at Buffalo Lancaster, clearing the snow off. Are you open?
Yeah, we're open. We lost one day during the height of the storm, but the very next day, our crack snow removal team had us open. The problem was the highways getting to the airport. There was a state of emergency in our local town, and our highways were closed. No unnecessary driving, but we managed to get the airport open.
All right. Well, when I talked to you during the day after the storm hit, you were wheeling your Cessna 162 back into the hangar. You have been fairly high on this light sport aircraft and greatly anticipating its arrival. What are your first impressions after having the chance to fly it, and have you had any students up in it?
Yeah, the airplane landed at about 1:30 p.m. local time, and at 2:30 p.m. we had our first revenue passenger or student on that airplane, and the airplane has now been booked right up through the rest of the month. You know, Cessna did it right. They took a lot of criticism for the delays in getting that airplane to the field, but rather than putting it out prematurely and then having to make constant fixes after its introduction, they held it off the market until they got it right. And I want to tell you, after flying this airplane, I flew it for about 2.5 hours yesterday, and it's just a super airplane. It fulfilled every one of our expectations.
Well, you have a couple of other things going on now, too. One of the other areas in which you're innovating is putting ground instruction online. And I know that you had a while back started a series of webinars. Let us know how the current series is going and how far into it are you?
Well, we had a bit of a rough start, technically speaking, selecting the right webinar hosting program to work with. We made a switch and we eliminated a number of the initial startup problems. It has a fairly steep learning curve, I believe, to get started on it as a presenter, as an organizer. But after the first three sessions, we worked out the bugs. We were surveying everybody following each session. We have about 100 people enrolled in it, and the survey responses now are all super. We finally got the technology working, and I think it's the wave of the future in terms of conducting any kind of ongoing training.
Have you been able to survey any of your students about comparisons between the traditional learning environment in a live classroom and doing it online? Are there any things that they find better or more difficult about doing it in the webinar process?
No. In fact, with this extreme weather that we've been having, we had one student showed up for our in-classroom webinar. You know, we do it both live in the classroom and then send it out over the computer or over the internet. We had just one out of about 30 live because of the weather. And the others just said it was so much easier for them to view it at home on their own computer. But even better, Paul, is the fact that it's recorded. So at the end of each session, we send them a URL, a web link, and they can click on that and then play it over and over and over as often as they want. So for all intents and purposes, it is better than the in-classroom session.
Well, now we get down to the point of that some people have a struggle understanding how webinars might be used in this scenario, and that is that a traditional ground school has live question and answer, stage exams, a number of things that, well, let's just say would preclude anybody from falling asleep during the course. Is there any safeguard that you have or any way you have to make sure that people who are involved, don't just log on, go out for coffee, and then come back?
Well, there are. We can, in fact, we can see who is logged on and who has logged off. But we're working now on the interactivity component. You have addressed the perhaps the weakest link because we're here and they're there. Unless we make it interactive where we're polling them and continually asking them questions, which we can do on screen, and it'll be a pop-up on their window with a question or a comment or an invitation to ask a question. So we can interact that way. But really what it does for the presenter, it forces the presenter to organize the session in such a way and back it up with colorful slides, interactive slides, movies, videos, so that it becomes, you know, I've done this both ways, teaching it live without the webinar and then with the webinar. And I want to tell you, you have to be much more prepared as a presenter doing it with the webinar, because if we don't keep it fast, keep it action-packed, we assume we're going to start losing people.
Well, I would think that it would be much better in terms of sound and being able to see the screen and everything to be doing it online. When we come back from the break, let's talk about what you're going to do for the next one, because I think you're going to an interesting place with it. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Arrow News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, talking about what may be the future of ground instruction, and that is web-based instruction with a live instructor and a number of live students in a webinar session. Bob, you'll be getting set to finish up the current course fairly soon, but you've just announced in Over the Airwaves an upcoming 8-week instrument refresher course in January. Who are the candidates for this, and who would benefit from this?
Well, we build it as a serious, take-no-prisoner, real-world instrument course. It's not a course designed to get the private pilot through the instrument pilot knowledge test and check ride, although it will go a long way in doing that. This course is more or less designed to target the experienced instrument pilot as well as the serious instrument student, again, in the real-world setting, rather than just learning how to do a few procedures, holds, course intercepts, and ATC communications. We're going to talk about the real problems of icing, of serious weather issues, heavy turbulence, sudden reroutes, lost communications, a variety of emergency procedures that can happen in the instrument environment. So I guess it's more of a in-your-face kind of no-holds-barred instrument course. And this is something that you very seldom see marketed by, at least that we've seen from existing providers of this kind of training material.
Okay, now, you have been somewhat of a critic of simulators for use in instrument training. You know, they're great for going through certain scenarios and for learning systems and that sort of thing. And you've also been a big proponent of learning to fly IFR in IMC, actual IMC, rather than under the hood. How does this fit with your philosophy? Can you really give students the same quality of ground training for instrument that you can in a classroom or actually around an aircraft?
Well, there's no substituting for in the cockpit training on instrument flight in the clouds, in IMC conditions, in the system, so to speak. Both, however, require, there has to be a certain amount of ground or academic training that goes along with it. Here, you know, I guess my criticisms haven't been quite so I haven't been quite so outspoken on the ground side of it, because in preparation of every flight, whether it's in a simulator or in the real-world conditions, there has to be adequate training on the ground. What we try to do is take the academics of instrument flight and really relate it or correlate it, if you will, to the real world based upon our flying experience and perhaps some of the most rugged instrument weather on the globe, and sharing those experiences also in some of the busiest airspace in the United States. So you combine airspace with serious weather in a real-world situation. We think we can add that extra dynamic to make the course much more than just a dry procedures course, if you will.
Is there anything specific to the materials you've prepared, being in your part of the world, that will be new to people who, you know, may not have found them in any other course? I guess what I'm thinking of, I know you've been experimenting with in-cockpit cameras and things like that. Is there anything you can actually show people in this format that you might not under a more generic DVD type course?
Yeah, we're working on that, Paul. We're still perfecting our in-cockpit recording. What we're planning to do is take some actual instrument flights in real IMC conditions, where the radio chatter between ATC and flight crews is a little bit more active than in VFR conditions. We'd like to give them that sense. We'd like to present the videos, and we can do that on the webinar through PowerPoint. So, we want to provide as much reality as we possibly can through any media that we can get a hold of.
Would this satisfy the ground school requirement? Well, I would imagine it'd be overkill for the ground school requirement of a flight review. But will someone getting to the end of this course have any particular qualification? Will they get a certificate to take the instrument knowledge test or anything like that?
Well, we have applied, and we no doubt will receive authorization from the FAA to grant wings credit. We have that. We do that with our private pilot ground course as well. So they'll get wings credit for it. This is when you think about it, it's 8 sessions, 2 hours each. So that's 16 total contact hours, which is like a full weekend, all day long, 2 days of training. So, you know, beyond the wings credit, there's not much more that we can give to the student other than the actual knowledge that he or she'll need for real-world instrument flying. The rest is going to be up to their individual flight instructor to determine that the information that they receive from our course is suitable training objectives the instructor has for those students.
Okay, if someone wants to find out more and wants to be a part of this, are there details on the website?
Not yet, surprisingly. We put it out in Over the Airwaves, and in the December issue of Over the Airwaves, there is a link and a reference to the course and a link through which they can register. We will be doing that very shortly, though.
The December issue of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, went hot yesterday morning, so people can just go to overtheairwaves.com and find out more.
Exactly right. It's boldly right in the middle, overtheairwaves.com. That's right, Paul.
Well, Bob, share with us your progress, because you're going to a place that I think is going to be a fairly common way to get ground training in the future, and we'll look forward to hearing about your progress.
Thanks, Paul.
Bob Miller has been my guest. If you'd like to receive an email notice when each new edition of Bob's newsletter is released, visit overtheairwaves.com. Scroll down the December issue and look for the subscription link. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.